is the equivalent of a customer saying to a staff person, I want to speak to your manager. And now we can all laugh a little. there's a little bit of humor in that. But there is something very real about the question of, does one parent take precedence over another? Is one really the higher level in the hierarchy, with the other one being on a lower level, quote unquote? Because we know in the Psukim, we saw that when it says it comes to kavid asavicha v'yasimecha, Abba comes first. And when it says ish imo v'aviv tira'u, Ima comes first. And the Gemara in Kiddushin addresses the discrepancy. Why in one commandment does one come first, and why in the other commandment does the other one come first? So if we look at the first source, we're on page 82, source number 45, Masechet Kiddushin Daf Lamed Amud Bet. Tanya, Rabbi Omer. Galoy v'yadua lifnei mi sha'amar v'haya ha'olam, she'ben mechabedet imo yoter me'aviv. It is known before everyone in the world that a child respects his mother more than he respects his father. Because an ima, a mother, is always the one who is encouraging the child. That the mother is the one who is teaching the child things, who is encouraging the child, who is constantly with the child in a meaningful way. And therefore, a child would naturally respect their mother more, that they would feel more of a closeness and therefore show greater respect towards their mother. Therefore, in the pasuk, when Hashem is writing it out, Hashem writes out Abba in kavid es avicha v'yasimecha, because Hashem wants to counteract the human instinct, which is to respect the mother more than the father. So Hashem places the father's kavod before the mother's kavod. V'galoy v'yadu lifnei misha amar v'haya ha'olam shehaben mityarei me'aviv yoter me'imo. And the Gemara continues on and says that it is known before everyone in the world that a son fears his father more than he fears his mother. Mipnei shemilamdo Torah, because the father is the one who teaches him Torah. And the explanation here is that it was assumed that one had to be strict and somewhat forceful in teaching Torah, that the child would come to be a little afraid of the parent who was teaching them. That in those days, this is not like gentle teaching. This was strict business, that when someone was teaching you Torah, they were going to do so in a strict way. And therefore, it was natural that a child would fear their father more than they would fear their mother. Lefichach, therefore, hikdim HaKadosh Baruch Hu mora ha'im lemora ha'av. Therefore, the Torah puts the fear of the mother before the aim of the father. So before the fear of the father. Again, trying to counteract human instinct, that human instinct is to fear our fathers more. Therefore, Hashem put the fear of the mother first in order to balance it out. So the idea that the Gemara in Kiddushin seems to be presenting to us here is the idea that it should be completely even, that one should fear their mother the same amount that they fear their father. One should respect their father the same amount that they respect their mother. And therefore, even though human instinct would pull us in one direction, Hashem purposely wrote the other direction first in order to show us and emphasize that it really should be completely equal. The Torah rules accordingly, and the Torah says in source number 46, "Ubechavod hikdim avleim." When it comes to kavod, when it comes to respect, we put the father before the mother. Dichtiv kavid esavicha v'yasimecha umora hikdim im la'av. And when it comes to mora, when it comes to fear, the Torah puts the mother before the father. Dichtiv ishimo v'aviv tira'u, that a woman, that a person should fear his mother and his father. The Torah tells us, the Torah is a halacha, we're already down into the realm of practical halacha, and the Torah tells us that the fear of the mother and father should be completely equal, and the kavod of the mother and father should be completely equal as well. However, what would happen in this specific situation? There are two parents who sometimes, occasionally contradict each other. One wants the child to do one thing, and the other wants the child to do something else. It's all good and well to say that their kavod and their honor and their fear should all be equal when they are in conjunction with one another, that the two don't clash. What we are going to see brought up in the next Gemara in Kiddushin Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph is that there could arise a situation in which one would have to decide between honoring the father and honoring the mother in that moment, or showing outward fear of one parent over another parent at a given moment. So let's look in the Gemara in Kiddushin and see what those possible scenarios could be, or what the specific question that is asked could be. So we're in source number 47, Sha'al ben Almana, Echad et Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara tells us that there was a son of an Almana. So there was a woman who had lost her husband, and this was her son, and came and asked Rabbi Eliezer a question. Abba Omer Hishkini Mayim. If my father tells me, please get me a drink of water, the imo merit hishkini mayim, and my mother says, please go get me water, either mehem kodem, which of them should go first? So we have this is a relatively innocuous situation. This is not one directly trying to contradict the other. Rather, this is just two people asking for water at the same time. So now the child is stuck in a little bit of a bind. Again, nothing too serious, but in that moment, he's asking, who do I listen to first? And this is direct kibud, right? We say kibud is feeding, giving to drink. So this is direct kibud avayim. Please go get me water to drink. And now the son is stuck in a bind between his mother and his father. Who should he get a cup of water for first? Amarle, hanach kavonimecha, v'aseh kavod avicha. So it says, put aside the kavod of your mother and take the kavod of your father should take precedence. That both you and your mother are required to respect your father. So what's he saying here? And we're going to delve into that for a minute. Now, I know our natural instinct is to be like, wait, what is going on here? But the idea is that he says, we're constantly trying to weigh the hierarchy here. So for instance, when we discussed, and we're going to discuss more in depth next week, but when we discussed the concept of can your parents tell you to transgress a mitzvah, the answer was no, because both you and your parents are obligated to respect Hashem. So therefore, they can't, if they are required to respect someone or something, if we're talking about God, they can't tell you to not respect that person, because both of you are obligated in respecting Hashem. Yes, Jazzy.
But it says here she's an almana, so how can the father's dead? This is
okay. So this is all theoretical. This is just the question that the boy presented to the rebbeim. He said, "If my father tells me something and my mother tells me something, what should I do?" The last line of the Gemara is they figure him out. They figure out that he's just messing with them. So right now he's just asking a theoretical question to a rebbe in the same way that I would ask, "What happens if I cross the international date line?" I'm not going anywhere, so I'm not crossing any international date line.
That I know people have had to really deal with it. So
I'm not one of those adventurous.
Bezrat Hashem, someday maybe you will.
Maybe. So this boy asked, should I give my mother or my father? And the answer that was given to him at first by Rabbi Eliezer was you and your mother are both obligated to respect your father. Therefore, in that given moment, the kavod of your father takes precedence, and you and your mom, and you should give your father to drink before you give your mother to drink. I wanted to delve in.
Could you say that, you know, in general, the woman is used to serving people and she'd be understanding and more inclined to wait because she understands what it is to wait. But with the man, in general, you know, she's always serving the mother most of the time, not all the time, but say for dinner, you know, serving him and setting and doing all the cooking. Let's say he does the cooking, but she's whatever. But, you know what I'm saying? So he's more inclined to want it, give me now, whereas a woman's more patient, I guess.
I think perhaps you can see that, but I think there actually is more of a halachic concept that we can delve into a little bit here. We're going to delve into it in 1 minute. I just want to finish the Gemara itself, and then I want to delve into that idea of what does it mean that the woman is obligated to respect her husband? Is that some sort of part of kibud avayim? What is that obligation? Is it a real obligation, or is it, as you're saying, like, the wife generally like is the one who puts out the food and is the one who brings things to the table. So she's more used to waiting for what she's going to have, which I don't know how well that would go over if I tell you that's the answer. But let's finish off the Gemara itself. And then I want to delve into, just take a side detour into that halachic concept for a minute.
Okay.
Okay, just hold on. She'atavim chachayvim mikvod avicha, that you and your mother are both obligated to respect your father. Balafni Rabbi Yehoshua, so now he goes to Rabbi Yehoshua with the same question. Amar lo kach, and he says the same question. My father and my mother both asked me for a cup of water at the same time. Who should I go to first? Amar lo, so Rabbi Yehoshua said to him, Rabbi Nitzkar Shamahu. So Amar lo kach, and Rabbi Yehoshua gives him the same exact answer. So now the boy's pushing a little further, and he says, Rabbi Nitzkar Shamahu, so what would happen if my parents were divorced? So you said that that I should serve my father first, because both me and my mother are obligated to respect my father. But what if my parents are divorced? So she doesn't have a husband. She's just my mother and he's just my father. They're not married to each other. So Amar lo, he answers to him, Mivin Riseinacha Machar Sheben Almanata. He says, I can tell from your eyelashes that you are an almana, you are a ben almana, that you don't have a father. Hatalahan mayin besapsal, go give them water in a basket. Vikakalahan katarnagolan, and you should splash it on them like chickens. What in the world is going on here? Why are we talking about chickens? So Rashi explains this Gemara a little bit. So if we look down below, Nitzgarsha, what is the point in asking this second question? She'in imi chayevet b'kvod avi mahu. So the point of asking the question about the divorced parents was, okay, if we're talking about a father totally separate from a mother, like we're just looking at them, not in their relation to each other, but my relation to them, then what would the answer be? So that was the point of pushing further with the question of Nitzgar Shamahi. Mivin Risayinacha. So how did he know from his eyelashes? Sa'arum Shabisuro Kisoi Ha'ai. And so first it explains to us what eyelashes are, that it is a line of hairs that is above your eye. Atani kar shahitayatom. I understood that you had lost a parent. Vinisharu resine enacha min habachi, because you started to lose your eyelashes from all of the crying. Kida amrinam b'Sanhedrin, as it says in Sanhedrin, v'hayara b'Gamliel shomea kula u'bacha kenegda ad shenisharu resine enacha. That it talks about how Rabbi Gamliel cried so much that he lost his eyelashes. So how did they finally figure this guy out? They said, you trickster, you are asking a totally theoretical question. I can tell from your eyelashes that you have been crying so much you don't have a father. That why are you asking us such questions of who do I serve first, my mother or my father, if this doesn't practically apply to you? Sheben almanata velotzaricha talamasa, you don't need to know this practically. Ela lemod bata, rather you just came to pick our minds. Vani omer lecha shechbod shneihem shava alecha. And I'm telling you that the point is, we're not talking about every what if scenario. I'm talking about if you want to know the truth is that both of their kavod is equal. If you're going to ask me these theoretical questions of things that theoretically could come up, of they ask you for water in the exact same moment and you have to decide between them, okay, you're bothering me, sort of. That's what they're saying. Like, okay, so in that situation, go to your father first. But the point being emphasized by Rashi is that their kavod is really meant to be equal. That is the baseline, that we understand that their kavod is equal, given no outstanding circumstances. You are meant to respect and fear from both of them equally. So what's with that last line about chickens? Hatalahem mayim b'safsal v'kaka, karkarlahem kemoshe mekarkarin latarnagulim. You should call to them like you call to chickens. V'lefisha lo hayatzarichla. So v'hu sha'alu kama she'ilav la'asot. Ka'amar lay abba v'ima. Hishivu b'lashon tzchok. They answered him sarcastically. That once the Rebbe figured out what this guy's intentions was, that he was really just here to try to catch them up, they answered him with sarcasm, that if you're going to come ask us these complicated scenarios of the what ifs, then we're going to answer you sarcastically. So what comes out of this Gemara, which you might say is like a little bit cruel, like what, we're going to tell someone who lost a father that they don't deserve to learn anything about Hilchos Kibud Av V'Aim? I don't think so. But the point that's meant to be brought out here, which is brought out by Rashi, is that the point really is that the two of them should be respected and feared from equally. But what I do want to stop on here for a minute is this concept of a woman being obligated to respect her husband. One might suggest that this is part of the idea of you should leave your parents and you should cling to your spouse, right? That we have this idea that when someone gets married, now their primary allegiance is to their spouse and no longer to their parents. So you could say that, but if we remember correctly, in the Pasuk, it tells us in Parshas Bereishis, the very beginning with Adam and Chava, the Azavit Beito V'Davak Be'Ishto, that the man should leave his family and cling to his wife. So then one should say that a man should be obligated to respect his wife, which actually does come up first in the sources. So again, we said it comes up in Sefer Bereishis right there in the beginning. But in the Gemara in Chulin, we also see, we see in a number of other places that the man is obligated to respect his wife. So in the Gemara in Chulin, Pei Dalet Amud Bet, La'olam yochal adam v'yishteh pachol mima sheyishlo, that a person should always eat and drink less than they need, v'yolbash v'yitchaseh v'ma sheyishlo, and he should always wear whatever it is that he has, v'yichabed yishto banav yoter mima, and he should respect his wife and his children more than he respects himself. Because they're reliant upon him. That if we think about society, the man was the one who went out and worked the fields, and he brought back the sustenance for the family. And because he should recognize that there are these people, he has dependents on him, he must show more respect to them than he shows to himself. A man is only reliant on God. Only is that he has to go out and he has to earn the parnasa, and he is relied upon by so many other people. But who does he rely on? Only Hashem. So if Hashem is providing for him, he should make sure to provide above and beyond for everybody else. However, it is brought down then in the Sfarim, specifically the Rambam brings down in Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Ishus. What are the obligations? We talk about in the Kesuba that the husband has many obligations to the wife. He has to provide food and clothing and physical pleasure. All these things are obligations from the man to the wife. But what are the obligations of a wife to her husband? There must be something she has to do in return. So in Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Ishus Tetzvav Chaf, V'chein Tzivu Al Ha'isha Shetihiyah Mechabedet Et Ba'ala. We command a woman that she should respect her husband, bioter midai, to an extra level. Like she should show a lot of respect to her husband. Via leha muremi menu, and she should also have a certain amount of fear from him. Again, fear being awe, not actual fear. V'ta'asek homa asa'a alpiv, and she should do exactly according to everything he says. V'hi be'enaha kmo sar o melech, and he should be in her eyes like a master or a king. He should go for what he wants, and he should distance himself from what he doesn't want. This is the way of righteous men and women in their couples. I did leave out. The Rambam does bring down prior to this. To this piece about the requirement of a wife to her husband, he also brings down that a husband should respect his wife tremendously. So that's why he ends off and he says, "V'zeh derech benos Yisrael b'nei Yisrael hakadoshim," that these are the ways of the righteous men and women, that they each respect each other tremendously. So he does. Sorry, that is a grave error that I left out the part that the Rambam addresses the men, but he also says similarly that the man should respect the woman tremendously. However, there is an idea specifically. So here it's all beautiful and like very halacha, but hashkafa, like we should all respect each other. We should all view each other as kings and queens and give each other whatever we need. However, in the Gemara in Kesubos outlines for us specific things that a wife is obligated to do for her husband. And interestingly, when it comes to learning the harchako, the means of distance during the time of nida, we discuss that the things that a wife cannot do when she's in nida are the specific things that she's obligated to do when she's not in nida. So what are those things? So the Gemara in Kesubos on Dafnan Tet tells us, Matitin, the ilu molacho cha isha usel ba'ala. These are the actions that a wife does for her husband. The ofa, umechabeset, mevashelet, umenika, benam, mitza'at lo mita. A woman bakes, and she does the laundry, and she cooks, and she feeds the children, and she makes the beds nicely. The Rambam of Mishnah Torah says, Mitziata isha umaseya deha la ba'ala. When a wife is the existence of a wife and what she has to do for her husband. Umahi oselo. What should a woman do on behalf of her husband? Hakol kiminhag hamedina. Everything is according to the minhag in their place. So according to what the, in the general society, wives do for their husbands, so whatever the culture at the time is, that would also be halachically what the woman is obligated to do for her husband. Makom shadar kan la'arub oreget, in a place where it is typical for women to do the weaving, then she should weave. Lirkom rokemet. When she is in a situation where it is in the place to comb, she should comb. Litvot semer or pishim tava. When she should twist wool or linen, she should twist it. She should create the strings. Then lohe adarach nesheha irla so kol amalachot ha'ilu inu kufa alaha litavot ha'temer bilvad. But anything that is not within the culture, we do not obligate a woman above and beyond to do for her husband. Shehab hishtan mizik etapeh veta svatayim vetavehi hamalacha hamiyuchadet lenashim shenemar kol isha chachamah. So he's saying in his culture, this was something that the women did, that they were the one who made the strings, that there is a specific reason that women are great and the women who do this should be praised. But he's saying anything that general society would obligate women to do, that is the obligation they have to their husband. That I think when we first hear that a woman has an obligation to respect her husband, we think like, what is this? Some sort of like monarchy in the home that the husband can like sit back and do whatever he wants and like the wife is obligated to him. But there is a certain level from what we brought up originally that there is this idea that when a woman leaves her home, she is no longer obligated in the same way in Kibud Av Va'Em to her parents. There is some element of showing respect to a husband, but as we saw hashkafically from the original Rambam, that idea is reciprocal as well, that the husband and wife, based on the Gemara, based on the Rambam, should be respecting each other in the utmost way, that they should be showing the most respect possible. Then we come to a practical level. We saw that the husband is obligated to bring home the parnasa, that he is the one who is obligated to sustain the family. Se'arak, sutav, onatav, that he has to provide food and clothing and sustenance, like he has to provide materially for the home. So what does the woman have to do in return? Whatever is culturally acceptable at that time. So if it's culturally acceptable for women to work and work outside of the home and bring home an additional income, that may be something that we say a woman is obligated in. If we say that culturally, the women are always the ones taking care of the children. I'm just throwing these out as theoreticals. Then we would say that a woman is obligated to care for the children. If we're saying it's typical that women mop the floors, then we would say that women are obligated to mop the floors. This is not some sort of like draconian, like the husband is the ruler in the family and the wife is subservient to him. Rather, it's this idea of there's ways that each member participates in the home. And therefore, this would become a halachic obligation. And just like the husband is obligated halachically to provide many things for the wife would be obligated to do certain things in response for her husband. So let's continue on to the Shulchan Aruch and see, based on this Gemara, we're back to our question of which parent takes precedence. So that was like a brief interlude into the world of like husband and wife and respect for each other. But now back to parents. If you have two parents, you have the father and the mother, and who do we have to respect more? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Aviv Omer lo hishkeni mayim. So he's bringing up this theoretical question that was presented by the Ben Almana, and he's asking it practically lahalacha. If a father says, please bring me water, the imo omer hashkeni mayim, and a mother says, please bring me water, meiniach imo, you put the mother to the side, ve'usich b'chvod aviv, and you engage in respecting your father. Ve'imhi migureshet me'aviv, however, if the two are divorced from one another, shnehem shavim, they're two, the both of their kavod is equal, and you can choose whoever you would like to serve first. So it's not saying we should be superhuman and do both at the exact same time. It is then up to you whether you want to serve your mother first or whether you want to serve your father first. But here, there is an interesting idea of like, why is it specifically bringing up the water? Like, why is the Shulchan Aruch bringing down the halacha? But again, quoting that very specific situation, like, why couldn't we just say, if your father and your mother both ask for something at the same time, why is it specifically saying yashkini mayim? And this was the idea that I was mentioning before, that later on in halacha, we are brought down with certain specific actions that a wife is obligated to do for her husband, and those then become the harchako, the thing she is not allowed to do during the time of nida. This is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, Eben HaEzer 80. V'chein kol isha rochatet leba'ala, Every woman should wash her husband's yet panav yadavir aglav, his face, his hands, and his feet. These were things that were done as they entered into the home. Umuzeget lo etakos. She should pour for him the water. Umatza'a lo hamitan. She should make the bed for him. So again, anyone who is familiar with the language used by the harchakos of Mida, we say that it is usur for a woman to wash her husband's feet, hands, or face. It is usur in mezigas hakos that she cannot pour him a cup of water. Umatza'a lo hamitan. She cannot set the bed. That a woman, when it comes to marriage, she is obligated to specifically to give her husband water and to place things in front of him that he would need. So that is specifically why we are addressing the idea of this specific question of if my father asks for water and my mother asks for water, because that is a specific obligation that a mother has for that a wife has to a husband, that she is obligated to pour him water. And therefore, we are asking specifically if it is a specific thing that the mother is obligated to the father in, and the father and mother ask for the same thing at the same time, who takes precedence? So the Pitzchei Tshuva actually questions here and says that it actually is very unclear whether this klal, whether this rule would apply in all situations or just specifically in these few instances that a wife is obligated to her husband in. So let's see the language in the Pitzchei Tshuva. Meniachimo. So we should put aside the kavod of the mother and serve the father first. V'nir eli l'chora de'imamar lo aviv la'asot lo melacha. That if a father said, can you do a certain work for me? That a woman is not specifically obligated to do for her husband. That was the simon that we just read in Shulchan Aruch. And his mother also asked him to do that specific malacha. That they are both equal. So let's say it wasn't a matter of, can I have a cup of water? But rather it was, can you bring me my shoes? That a woman is not specifically obligated to bring her husband his shoes. Therefore, we're in a situation where the son is just directly obligated either to the mother or to the father in that moment. And he said, in that situation, they are shnehem shavim, and therefore you can choose who you would like to serve first. L'hachi naktu hishkini mayim mipnei shezo la'olam chayevet. Avim hechnisa lo kamashvachot ayin sham. In Simon Pesef Dalid. So further on in the Simon Ibn Ha'ezer, it talks about how even if the woman is able to bring in slaves into the home, if she is able to have shvachot, she's able to have maidservants, she should still be the one giving to drink and washing his feet and face. That there are certain things that remain special for the wife, which is why we ultimately bring them down to be the harchakot, that we found that they can bring a certain closeness. So there was this idea that even if you had shvachot and avadim in your home, that even if you had maidservants, you would not give over this chore to them. Those are the few things, but he says, mihu ein zeh baror. He says, it's not clear whether we're specifically talking about those few situations or we're talking in general, that if a wife is obligated to do things for the husband, that the child should always choose the father first, because him and the mother are both obligated to the father. So the Pesach Tshuva ends off here and says it's very unclear whether it's specifically in this water situation or it would be broader in other situations as well. However, according to the Shulchan Aruch, as we saw, the Shulchan Aruch paskened and said, in the case of water specifically, you should serve the father first. But in the case of anything else in which they were totally equal, it's up to the child to decide who they would like to serve first. So Rav Yashiv ruled that practically the father's request should be attended to first, even in this case. Nevertheless, this is in the final blur below the last source. The Ben Ish Chai states that if the father's request does not involve direct benefit to him. So as we talked about in the past, like the father says, can you, I don't know, go learn. He says to the son, can you go learn? It would be my will that I want you to go learn right now. As we learned previously, some poskim rule that there is no mitzvah of kibud av in this case, and the mother's request does bring her direct benefit. So if the father says to the son, I want you to go back to yeshiva right now, I want you to go learn, and the mother says, well, I actually want you to make me lunch, then we would say that the requirement to the mother comes first, because that is direct kibud avim, where the fathers, many poskim say that's not direct kibud avim. So they say, Rav Eliashiv rules that in general, the precedence should go to the father's kavod because of this idea of the mother being obligated to the father as well. However, we'll conclude this year by citing the following beautiful incident invoking Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that illustrates the extent to which he went to fulfill the mitzvah of kibud avim. So it ends off with one really like nice, sweet story about Rav Shlomo Zalman, in which he went above and beyond in order to respect his mother. And I think we should also specifically note that there are a number of stories of people specifically respecting their mothers that I know we've done the Gemara previously about the character in the Gemara who would carry his mother on his hands, that it was hard for her to walk and she didn't have her shoes, so he would carry her on his hands. And in that same Gemara, I believe all two or three examples that are given are all of different Rebbeim and how they showed their kavod to their mother specifically. So even though I think often we end up saying like, if a father asks a son to do X, Y, and Z, I think the idea that's being very much emphasized here is that all things equal, the mother and the father are equal. If there is somehow comes about a situation where one contradicts the other, then we come into a discussion of which may come slightly before the other. But even then we conclude that in most situations, with the exception of a few actions, the kavod of both is equal, and it is upon the child to decide which they would like to serve first. So let's end off with this story of Rav Shlomo Zalman. So from the time that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach reached the age of mitzvot, he would read Megillat Esther for his mother, who was hard of hearing. The Rav would prepare for days in order to read with the proper pronunciation and cantillation and endeavor to read very loudly while being very close to her in order that she should be able to hear without using a hearing aid, which was halachically questionable in this context. The son of the Rav related that he later read for his grandmother for many years and later told his father that he did not think that she heard every word. So the son of the Rav, so he said to his son, "You should know, my son, that I never ever thought that my mother heard the entire Megillah properly according to halacha, but everything I did, I only did in order to honor her and make her feel good." So we see that the amount that a tremendous Talmud Chacham like Rav Shlomo Zalman, that even though it wasn't that he was placing halacha on such a pedestal, it wasn't that he was saying like, oh, for Kavod HaTorah, I have to make sure that she fulfills every halachic obligation. That he wasn't even sure that his mother, in the end of the day, was going to be able to fulfill the halachic obligation practically, but he went so above and beyond for the kavod of his mother. So I think the idea here that I think sometimes we overlook is like, it sort of seems like kavidas avicha v'yasimecha, that like we often use examples that talk about the husband first. We often talk about the father above the mother, but the idea that's very much meant to be emphasized here is that the two really are equal, and that while we do believe that there are different roles and there are different obligations of one spouse to another when it comes to a child to the parent, it is very important, as we saw, that was emphasized so tremendously in the first Gemara, that for the chinuch of the children, what is important is that he should see his two parents as equal in terms of his respect and his awe and his admiration of both of them. If you have more, one interesting question that possibly could come up, if you look like you go two pages further, there's the further Ian, which is an article about what happens if it's a deceased parent's will over a living parent's will. So that would be a very extreme situation of one contradicting the other, which takes precedence in that situation. So that's something to look for further Ian. And then other than that, next week we finish this next section of Hilchos Kibud Avim. So we are on to section 3 of Hilchos Kibud Avim, and we'll talk about when parents instruct a child to violate a prohibition. So that will be next week's shiur.